This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You might assume we're both good at presenting to a live audience because of this podcast. But at the end of the day, when we record, it really feels like we're just talking to one another. Presenting information in person in a formal setting to a large audience is something that still makes us really nervous. To prepare for a live speaking event we're hosting together, we turned to our masterclass subscription to not only refine our presentation skills, but to build our confidence in a different kind of public speaking capacity. Between Robin Roberts, Hillary Clinton, and Kevin Hart's expertise, our confidence skyrocketed. This year, learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass helps you actually do it. Masterclass offers over 180 world-class instructors. So whether you want to master negotiate with Chris Voss, think like a boss with Martha Stewart, or plan your dream wedding with celebrity event planner Mindy Wise, Masterclass has you covered. There are over 200 classes to pick from, with new classes added every month, like our latest aha moments from Robin Roberts' Effective and Authentic Communication class that we watched before our event presentation. She taught us how to establish a genuine connection with the audience from the start. I'll always be a little nervous before presenting, but Masterclass prepared us in a way that dialed my nerves down and gave me tools to ground myself. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 50% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Welcome back to another episode of Shrink Chicks.
Take a seat on our virtual therapy couch and get ready to learn all about, well, you.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're both licensed marriage and family therapists and relationship experts. We're the owners and founders of The Therapy Group, a nationwide psychotherapy practice with down-to-earth therapists just like us.
Your session is starting, so get ready to know yourself and grow yourself.
Hi.
Hi.
You ready for the question of the day?
Always.
All right. Maya wrote in and said, what is the most memorable or best compliment you have ever received?
Okay. I don't know if it's the best one I've ever received, but it's the most memorable one. I was walking down the street with my really good friend, Jamie. She's the best.
The best. We love Jamie.
And random woman passes by us and says, the two of you have great shoulders.
Oh, not like when you were told you have a neck of a goose, huh?
No, I wouldn't say that was a compliment. But it was just so random.
Yeah.
And so out of the blue that I'll remember it. We talk about it all the time.
Listen, I'm going to just say, I don't think I've ever noticed your shoulders, but I will be noticing them moving forward to see how they look.
Listen, it was 10 years ago. I don't know if my shoulders are the same.
I don't know what happens to shoulders over a decade, you know? Okay, mine is such a good one.
I'm ready.
So when I was little, I must have been in kindergarten, and I went to a kid's birthday party at like fucking Leaps and Bounds. Did you have Leaps and Bounds? Remember
no,
that place?
No, I had Discovery Zone.
Discovery. It was exactly like Discovery Zone. Yeah, yeah. Okay, maybe it Leaps and Bounds turned into Discovery Zone, actually. Oh. Remember when you left, they had the name tag ball?
No.
Oh my God, so you had a name tag when you were in there and then you left, you put it on this big ball and it like was a huge thing of just name tags. Maybe that was Leaps and Bounds. I don't know. Okay, whatever. So I show up to this birthday party and I walk in and this little boy in my class goes, Mom, that's the girl with a face like an angel.
Oh my God, that's so nice.
And that little boy, his brother is now our landlord in Westchester.
Yeah. Did you guys date in kindergarten?
Don't forget, I repeated kindergarten. So I'm a twofer. I did 2 years of the kindy. And so we did get in kindergarten and then he moved up to first and I did not.
How is that? Was that where you guys broke up?
Like, no, I believe it still stayed for a while after that. I can't really remember.
You guys are still dating.
But he had a pet monkey. And so obviously, if someone has a pet monkey, like I want to hang out with an animal. That's all I know.
Yep. 100%. Especially a monkey.
Yes, but a face like an angel.
Oh, we just found out.
What?
That one of our clinicians
has a pet duck. Jocelyn.
Has a pet duck.
Wait. Nikki, please throw up some images now of Doug the duck. But one of our amazing clinicians, let me be clear, if you want to hang out with the coolest therapist ever and you are in Florida, New York, and New Jersey, Jocelyn at our practice has a pet duck who lives with her.
And she got it in September and she just told us. We were like, Jocelyn, what took you so long to tell us?
Yeah, we should fire her just for that. I can't believe that I missed out on 6 months worth of duck content.
Oh my God.
And she wasn't putting it on social media. Like, I'm not on social media, but she wasn't putting it up.
It was the most exciting day of my life hearing about Doug the
duck. It's so cool. All right, we'll ask her to take a video with Doug.
Yes.
And we'll post it on Shrink Chicks. Okay, but we are here today. I have no idea how we're going to wrap. I don't know how we're going to transition.
Well, before we transition, I do want
to
mention something. Because we talked about mentioning this on the podcast, and I think it's really important. We are having an open house at the therapy group in both of our locations, physical locations. And so if you are a clinician in the Westchester area, Philadelphia area, if you're in the area in some way, and you want to come to one of our open houses to network, to meet us, to meet other therapists, to meet our therapists. Mm-hmm.
Today, April.
It's in April. Well, we're having two of them, so we haven't really decided. But what we invite you to do is to send an email with your name, where you work, to contact@thetherapygroup.com. And we will put you on the invite list and you can come to the therapy group. You can come to our open houses, enjoy some food and meet some of our clinicians and meet us. We would love to meet you. So send us an email.
And like, you know, we're not that far from other places, man. Make the drive in. Come chill.
New Jersey. If you're in New Jersey,
yes,
come to Philly.
It's not
you're
that
in Delaware,
bad. Very
come
close
to Westchester.
Yes. So come on out. Hang out with us. It's such a good networking opportunity for you, for us, for everything. Also, just like we love hanging out with clinicians. So it doesn't just have to be mental health. You massage therapist, energy healing, a physical therapist. Come on out.
We want to connect. We want
to collaborate.
About that. Yep. Well, happy to
throw it in. We'll also throw it up on social media as well.
Yes.
But contact@thetherapygroup.com. Come hang out with us.
Come hang out with us. We can't wait.
I don't know how you want to roll that somehow to the top of the show because the opposites attract.
We're opposites.
Yes, we are.
And we attract.
We do. But let's talk about this. Okay, so we have to start out with this question, which is, do opposites attract? I feel like they did at the start of the relationship, but 10 years later, it's killing us. And something Dr. Tracy said on our show a few months ago that I loved was, typically, what attracts you to a person initially is what you resent about them later on. So my husband was like in college, right? Like he would do shit the last minute, right? Like we'd party. And then like the night before something, he'd stay up like all night long, which was like, I thought was awesome in college because like that's normal. That's what people are doing. 14 years later, I'm like, go to sleep. We have to be up in the morning. We have shit to do. Why do you procrastinate? So it is, I think it's very interesting. This person was able to identify that is that like things that work in the start of the relationship starts to kill you later on, meaning we have to find a different solution and system. Boop, boop, bee.
I think, I don't know if you guys caught that, but that was an original song. Just want to make sure everyone knows that that was original and on the spot.
Was someone thinking that that was...
Just want everyone to know that that was on the spot, beautiful. No, I do think that's really common. And I think it is easy to have an opposite. And it's also, it's nice in some ways, right? It creates a level of homeostasis. It creates a level of balance where places where you might have strengths, your partner may lack in those strengths. Place in which your partner has strengths, you may lack. I think where we come into conflict is where we expect our partner to become us, and vice versa. And we get stuck in not being able to compromise with the other one or understanding that the way in which they process, deal with things specifically is helpful for them. And we do things a little bit different. When we get to the place where there is conflict in that, I think that's, once again, where we get stuck. And it's hard to figure out how do we navigate that. And we kind of hold it in instead of expressing it and saying, can we find a different way to do this, right? Like, you know, when you also enter into like transitions in your relationship, like when you have a child, and Emma, I'm sure you can speak to this, where the differences in how you do things maybe didn't matter as much or didn't affect your relationship as much mm-hmm. until you have other things that are placed into your relationship or there's some sort of transition that you have to go through.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I think, you just don't notice them as much, right? Like, when we didn't have to wake up at 6 a.m. because we had a 4-year-old in our bed. Whatever. I don't care what your schedule really is. If you're late for work, that shit's on you. It's totally different when your lives become way more intertwined.
Yes.
And I think that's especially a thing. A lot of people wrote about financial differences, right? Someone being a saver versus spender. And maybe at the beginning of your relationship, it's really nice because I'm a saver. This person pays for everything and spends. And that's awesome until we combine finances. And so I think it's so true. These things that are sort of sexy, interesting, mysterious, maybe feel really overwhelming and bring up anger for you later on.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyone else feeling like the mental load of making dinner, the planning, the shopping, the prep, figuring out the timing? It's a little heavy to carry, huh? Same. That's why I am so grateful for Hungry Root. The food quality, simple recipes, true tastiness, and delivery right to my door is truly a game changer. When getting started, you take a fun, short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know you, what you like to eat, and more. Then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations to put those groceries to use, so you can sit back, relax, and offload the many steps of meal planning. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, healthy snacks, smoothies, sweets, ready meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins, supplements, much more. My favorite item from my latest box was the honey citrus chopped salad, lemon pepper chicken, and the 4-cheese tortellini. You gotta try it for yourself. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's gotta taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
A really fun fact about me that you might not know is that if I let my hair dry natural, it is a frizzball mess, which is one of the many reasons I absolutely love Prose. I truly never thought that I would be able to embrace my natural hair texture. Ever since I switched to a custom hair routine with Prose, I've noticed so many benefits. Less frizzy hair, yes, but beyond that too. My hair is shinier, healthier, and so much more manageable. Filming the podcast every week makes checking out my hair unavoidable, and I have felt so much more confident on camera thanks to Prose. Prose is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. The custom shampoo and conditioner combo, plus the hydrating leave-in conditioner and hair oil, keeps the frizz at bay. It also makes for the smoothest blowout. People keep asking me if I got my hair cut or went to the salon, which is, of course, the highest compliment. Prose isn't just better for you, it's better for the planet. They're certified B Corp cruelty-free and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. They even have a review and refine tool which learns from my feedback and adjusts my formula to keep up with the seasons and changes in my life. I used this feature when I moved my temporary house in New Jersey back to my house post-construction project in Pennsylvania. Environmental factors like water source is something that Prose takes into consideration with their customization. So it was very cool that I had the ability to update my location. Prose is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin, and they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/shrinkchicks. So you get a free consultation, then 50% off at prose.com/shrinkchicks. That's prose.com/shrinkchicks.
Someone wrote differences in life and big picture goals. Oof. That's a tough one. I mean, number one, here's my question. Are you married?
Well, listen, here's the other part that we're going to have to talk about is like, we understand
we're therapists and we love talking. But this is some shit you got to talk about, y'all. Yes. Like, truly, if you were in a relationship and thinking about living your life with somebody else, you should have these conversations sooner. And I know it's maybe not sexy or flirty or whatever, but it is really important because, I mean, we can't tell you people that show up in the office that are like, oh, we never talked about having kids. I have no interest in having kids and he wants a million.
Yeah, like those are the types of things that are really important to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, there might be big picture life goals that there can be some compromise on. For example, if one person's like, I really want to travel, and the other person's like, I'm not really interested in travel. You can really travel by yourself. Like, would that, do you need your partner in order mm-hmm. to travel? That's a question you can ask yourself. Like, when you picture traveling, do you need your partner with you, or can you do it separately if that's not a goal that they have?
Or maybe once a year you go on a trip together and then the next year the other person does solo. Yeah. But I think here's when it becomes complicated, right? Like, let's say you're someone who wants to put all of your finances into improvements on the house and the other person does not care about the house at all, but only wants to put their finances towards travel. You're looking, I wasn't talking about you. You're outing yourself right now.
Speaking to my soul.
Your facial expression outed you. I did not out you.
Just, I couldn't help myself.
For the record, I wasn't even talking about you. I was just saying the big picture, but thank you. So, Jen, how does it, since you want to have a personal experience?
Oh, God. Going through a major house renovation right now. My husband is a realtor, and his home is very important to him. And listen, I like that too. But is it my number one? Definitely not. But I think here's what I think is helpful in navigating this difference. When we had always talked about doing a renovation, and even though it's not a priority to me, I understood that it was a priority to my husband and has always been a priority to my husband. And so during this conversation that we have about, like, where are we going to put our finances? What are we going to focus on? I've said, like, okay, once we do this, like, I want to be able to save money to travel. Like, traveling's really important to me. It's something that I really want to do. So as you're compromising, right, if you have different ideas about, like, where your finances are going, you can talk about that and say, okay, if we do this now, like, I also need to do this afterwards. Like, what does this look like in the future? If it becomes so one-sided, like, nothing's ever 50-50, right? There are going to be times in your relationship where it leans one way and times in your relationship where it leads a different way. He is so affected because he's so detail-oriented and he looks at houses all the time. He's so affected by his environment that I understood how important it was to him to make these edits to our house. Mm-hmm. So I could compromise on that. But I also am having the conversation around, well, this is really important for you. I can support that, but let's talk about what this looks like in the future too. If I hold that in and I don't express it and I don't express what's important to me, then that could easily build resentment for me. So in that compromise where you're talking about those differences, it's important for both people to express their opinion. And it's not about right or wrong. It's about, okay, maybe we lean a little bit this way in this moment, and maybe we're going to lean the other way in a different moment.
Yeah. Well, and somebody talked about, I think that's also something to keep in mind is, like, I like the analogy you just gave of leaning one way versus the other, right? And it brings up, someone had written about it, like, handling different parenting styles. If you come together, and this is also the importance of constructive communication versus conflict, right? If we come together and say we have very different parenting styles, when is mine maybe a little bit more useful versus when is yours a little bit more useful, right? So for me, my parenting style is very much, like, aware of her developmental stage, aware of her emotional stage, and, like, that, you know what I mean? So, like, I am, like, soft and strong, but, like, very warm, right? My husband is a little bit more like, keep this shit moving, let's go, right? And there is times that his is needed, like bedtime. when she's just so tired, she just needs to go to bed. And me asking her how she feels a million times is not the most helpful thing, which really needs to happen, which is that she's tired and has to go to sleep. And so we know that in general, my husband has to handle bedtime. She sees me. Mom's the weak link. She knows it, right? It's fine. We can talk about it. But I think this is the ability of saying, being very reasonable and intentional about using your different skills together. We talked about this in someone else's podcast about, like, it's not about right versus wrong. It's about what's workable.
Yes.
So there are times that mine can be more helpful versus his. But when it's workable, we have to know the differences. And then we have to know when that person steps in, not when we attack each other.
Yes. Well, can I ask you a question, Em? Because I think this will be helpful. Like, how long did it take for you guys to figure that out? To, like, figure out how do we use our differences? Like,
yeah, what 4.5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what had to happen in order for you to figure out?
A lot of fights.
Yeah. So
a lot of mine is better versus mine is better versus not working together. So I think a lot of it. And let me tell you, especially when you're new parents and your first postpartum, that shit is such survival that, like, you don't have the ability to, like, do some of this stuff we're talking about, right? Yeah. I think this comes over time. Just like anything, the longer you're with someone, you know more parts of them. The longer that you're alive, you know more parts of yourself. And so I think it really does take time. But if you use some of these skills we're talking about sooner, you don't have to suffer as long as we did. we just talk about it, right? Here's the parenting style that's important to me. Here's what my parents do with me. Here's who I want to be. If my daughter gets hurt, she wants warm, cuddly mommy, right? Where's my mom? That's what she's going to say every time. That's no problem for me. I love being that person. But there's times that we really need dad there.
Mm-hmm.
And together, right? So using the different parts of both of ourselves. And for a while, I think it's really easy when you're also doubting your own, you're defensive.
Yeah. Well, I like that you say that. Like, when you became a mom, it was the first time you were learning any of this to figure out, like, who am I going to be as a mom? What does this look like? What's helpful? What's not helpful? And so is your partner, right? At the same time, figuring that out.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I said, like, how long did that take is just to validate that in any transition, like, this kind of thing takes time. And I think it highlights your differences, too. Like, it can really highlight how you handle things differently, how you cope differently. And I think just really being conscious of that, that it's not about who's right and who's wrong or me versus you. It's like, how do we use these two new parts? How do we both figure out what this looks like for me, what this looks like for you? And how do we use them together? And what does that look like in this context? And that can take time. That can take years.
Yeah, it really does. Okay, I got to bring up this one because I don't know. You know which one I'm going to bring up, right?
No.
Oh, someone wrote in how to handle different political affiliations.
Oh.
Seems like a no-no these days.
I think you got to decide how much you're talking about.
Okay.
Right? What you're bringing into the conversation. How it's affecting your relationship.
Could you be with someone of a different political affiliation?
I think if there was, like, extremes, no.
Yeah.
Like, I also
listen, maybe 20 years ago, but shit's so different now.
It's so different.
The political divide is so bad.
It's
so heated.
Yeah.
I feel like 20 years ago, people could be married. Doesn't matter. Oh, this is who your dad is. Whatever. Like, now it's like, oh, my God. Your husband's a Republican and
it,
you're
like,
a Democrat.
Who you are. Like, it becomes so embedded in, like, oh, this is who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess also for me, the social issues are so significant because they, like, affect us so much.
Yeah.
I guess that's part of it for me.
I guess it would depend, like, what is the reason why they're on one side as opposed to another side.
This is too raw for us. We can't give advice about this, huh?
Well, because I think it's a raw topic in general.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to give advice on it because I think you can really ask yourself, like, what are your values? Where does it fall? Like, I think what we're really talking about is values.
Yeah. Yes.
And that is why it's hard to talk about, because it's not necessarily, I mean, it is about politics, but it's also like, where do my values fall in here and my value system? And the reason why it can be difficult in a relationship is that you're bringing up, like, it's highlighting differences in your values, which that in and of itself, I think, can be really separating. Like, yeah. Can be really distancing, because we don't sit down and talk about, well, what are your values? Here are what my values are, you know, which we recommend, right? Once again, we're therapists. Yes. We recommend you talk about everything. But I think that in the divide, it really highlights the differences in your values, which can be a very touchy subject, especially if you're married, because you're like, oh, I didn't realize that this was a value. This is a really strong value that I have. And I didn't realize that you don't agree with that, or that's different for you. And like, how do I feel about you now?
Did you know that billions of plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles end up in landfills every year? I used to contribute to that waste, constantly buying single-use plastic cleaning products without giving it much thought. But then I discovered Blue Land, and it has been a game changer. Blue Land has helped me eliminate the need for single-use plastic and the products I reach for the most. They are reinventing cleaning essentials. Their approach is simple yet revolutionary. Refillable cleaning products with a sleek design that not only looks great on your counter, but also reduces plastic waste significantly. What I love most is the convenience. With Blue Land, I never worry about running out of cleaning supplies or lugging bulky bottles from the store. From hand soap to toilet bowl cleaner to laundry tablets that each smell incredible, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. I was blown away when I received my first Blue Land order. I immediately filled the bottles with water and their tablets, which was so easy to try everything out. And the ingredients are clean, the scents are refreshing, and the packaging is just so cute. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine. If you're ready to make a positive change for the planet without sacrificing cleanliness or convenience, Blue Land has you covered. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off. I am thrilled that the weather is finally warming up here in Philly. I went to switch out my closet the other day from my fall winter wear to my spring summer wear and noticed that I very much needed a refresh. So thank goodness for Quince that allows me to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I refresh my closet with the high-waisted linen shorts that come in multiple colors and patterns, the comfiest cotton tees, and my latest favorite, the smocked mini dress. And don't miss out on their accessories. Quince has the coolest sunglasses and 14 karat gold jewelry to complete any look. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
So then someone said, can religious and non-religious work?
Once again, I think it depends on like how the like extremes of it and like how.
Like if you're Amish, and your partner's not, that's probably going to be a problem.
Right. Well, I would think that if one partner is like so extreme that they probably wouldn't be with someone
that's
who
probably
isn't
true.
Religious.
Yeah. But I mean, all right. So like my husband is like super anti-religion. Like literally look at his nightstand and there's like a book that says like God is not great. So like my husband is like super, super anti. I am kind of like woo-woo spiritual. You know this. Like I'm a little bit like, but it's not organized religion.
Right.
So like ours works fine because like I'm just like, I don't know, man. I got to talk to the moon. Oh man. Last night before bedtime.
You talked to the moon?
Millie was like, I want to go out the door to talk to the moon. And I was like, it's raining out. We're not going to go out the door. She's like, can we open the window and talk to the moon?
Beautiful. She's also a spiritual lady.
I know. Oh my gosh. She loves nature. And so I'm like, yes. So then we like get down. I'm like, is this kid about to pray? Like I was sort of like, what's happening right now? Right? Like She gets down. She looks out the window. And she goes, I wish it was summer.
Okay, I'm going to talk to the moon too. Right?
And I was like, oh, okay, cool, right? Like, we are truly talking to the moon.
But I
didn't know where that was going to go.
And I'm going to try that tonight. Yes. And I hope that it works.
Well, she got mad at me because then I said, I actually would like a tiny bit of more winter and then I'll take summer.
I would like spring. Where's Punxsutawney Phil when you need him? Weren't we having a conversation about Punxsutawney Phil recently?
Was that on the podcast or no?
No, it was just between the two of us. We were talking about Punxsutawney Phil.
I was saying how so Punxsutawney Phil is from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. We obviously live in Pennsylvania, and I went to Penn State, which is like the middle of Pennsylvania. But like, if you don't know, like, if you live in Pennsylvania, you know 500 people that went to Penn State. Like, there was like some insane statistic that like one in every three Pennsylvanians are married to a Penn Stater, because right. It's not just like the main campus. There's like all these branch campuses, like whatever. It's like a huge thing. And so it's not so people. The thing you might not realize because you don't see in TV is that like people like tailgate Pucks like Groundhog Day. Like people like drive there at 3 a.m. and get like fucked up before this groundhog comes out. And so I think we were talking like, should we go? We would never do that. But people from Penn State used to do that. They used to wake up at 3 a.m, they would drive and go get wasted for this groundhog to come out. And I was like, yeah, no shit. This guy crawls back in this hole. He's traumatized.
Right. He probably looks out. He's probably like, what the fuck is everyone doing here? Who are these drunk people?
So I guess he comes out next week.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he sees a shadow.
So religious or not religious work, Punxsutawney Phil.
Really took a turn. Really took a turn there.
So I guess that's what we're saying is like, is any type of extreme, right? And that can even go back to the parenting thing. If I'm like, so like, this is the only way to parent, it's probably not going to go very well.
Yeah.
So the question is, where is there compromise in your relationship? That's going to be the big question about opposites. Of course, opposites attract. The question is, do they work?
Yeah. And that's can you saying, compromise right? within them, right? And I think when we talk about opposites, we're talking about such extremes. And I think that's why we keep going back to like how extreme, right? But this, when we talk about extremes in that way, we talk about it in kind of like a rigidity of like, this person's all the way on this end and this person's all the way on this end. Does that work? Where you might have different parts of you that you haven't accessed, right? And there's nuance in every situation. And maybe in one situation, you feel one way, another situation, you feel another way. So you also might want to think about, you know, are there times in which I maybe don't fall as much on this extreme? Like, can I move towards the middle a little bit? And what does that look like? Because, you know, sometimes when our partner falls on one side, it almost pushes us so far to the other side to feel like we have to defend our opinion or defend what's going on for us, right? And then we kind of go in this back and forth that like polarizes us even more, as opposed to looking at how do we bring ourselves together? How do we look at the nuances of this? How do we connect over the differences. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, totally. So I want to talk about this one. Hobbies. My partner has hobbies I can't do, like extreme sports, and they can make me feel not good enough.
Oh. First of all, I think it's great your partner has hobbies. It's great to have your own interests. And it's, yeah. I think there's this belief that in order to stay connected in a relationship, you need to be doing the same things and you need to be doing them together, and you can have your own thing. And I really believe that a healthy relationship allows both of you to hold on to your own individual identities and stay connected to one another. And that might mean each of you having different hobbies. And so I'm wondering for this person, what their expectations are about activities and if they need to be together. Are you allowed to have your own hobbies? Is this something that your partner is upset about? Does your partner feel disconnected from you? Or is this a pressure that you're putting on yourself?
How do I communicate with my partner when they expect me to react like they would, but I don't? I would say literally that. Sometimes I struggle to communicate with you because I feel like you expect me to react the way you did, but that's not who I am. Here's how I react. I would bring that concern directly into it. Let them hear that concern from you. Can they hear that? Can they see that it's different? I think it's really normal for people to like make assumptions, right? Like it's kind of just like a thing that humans do. We realize that we forget that people are different than us. And so we make assumptions and we jump to conclusions with that. Bring that concern directly into the conversation.
I would also be curious, you know, if you could ask your partner, what is it about the fact that I'm not reacting in the same way? Like what upsets you about that? Like oftentimes if we're not having the same reaction, that the assumption is, oh, you must not care or you must not, right? Because maybe your partner feels something and expresses it immediately, right? Whereas when you feel that same thing, you do something different with it. And so I would be curious as to like how your partner is interpreting that you not reacting in the same way. And in this example, if they feel like you don't care, right, for you to get underneath that and understand that so that you can express that, no, I actually do care. Like I'm just in my head about it. I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to, so I just react to it differently. I really do care. Is there a way that I can express to you that I care without reacting in the same way that you're reacting? What does that look like for us?
Yeah. And this goes to, I'm the only one proactively starting conversations. How to encourage more participation. It's probably just going to be you. And I'm saying that in a way of like, that's such an important role that for me, I think it's more important that you do that hard thing than thinking about things being fair.
Yeah. And in that, right, let's say you start it. Let's say you're the initiator. I wonder how much you're asking questions to the other person.
How much you're just talking.
Yeah. Or how much you're just talking at them. Right. So you might be the initiator. Maybe your partner never initiates the conversation. But sometimes when we want our partner to talk, to be included, we just talk at them and we think, oh, this is going to help. Like if I talk at them, maybe it'll like bring them out of their shell and maybe they'll start talking. The thing that we forget is that we need to also ask our partner questions and give them space, right? If your partner isn't one to bring things up, if maybe they're more internal about things, if you ask them a question and then give them space to be able to think and then answer it, it might invite them into the conversation more. And I also think sometimes when we ask questions, if they don't answer immediately, then you start talking over them, right? All anxious. And so if you ask your partner a question to invite them into the conversation and then give them space to be able to think about and then answer the question.
Mm-hmm. I just want to talk about this one for fun.
Okay, I love that.
Life insurance. If I bring it up, he brings up the true crime podcast I listen to and deflects. What? You should like have life insurance. I don't know. You should have life insurance. It's reasonable.
I don't have life insurance.
You should have life insurance.
And listen, but let me tell you about this true crime podcast that I just listen to. Let me tell you about Scamanda.
Wait, you should have life insurance.
Yeah, I don't. Should I get it? I don't know. I talked to an insurance broker about it. This has turned into a podcast about us.
I don't know, but we're gonna run out of time and we have to talk about libido.
Okay.
Because people are gonna want to know about sexual desire.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the most we'll say mixed ones. Here's the deal about sexual libido. Never is your partner going to have the same libido as you. It's simply just not going to happen. But, so this person said, libido, mine is close to zero and his ... is not. So one, I would encourage you to explore what's happening that yours is close to zero. I would encourage you to think about the type of sex you're having if you enjoy that. I would encourage you to think about your experience with sex and your thoughts and feelings and values around sex. And I would be interested in knowing about the conversation around sex in your relationship and how this goes over. Is there shame for not wanting to have it? Is there avoidance around it? Do you have trauma? Any of these things. But just so folks know, this is a typical thing many, many couples struggle with.
I would also ask, is your libido close to zero just in the relationship. Are you masturbating? Are mm-hmm. you feeling sexually charged in other ways? Because that might just give you information about where the lack of libido might be coming from. The key here, too, is not to personalize the other person's lack of interest in sex and to have a conversation about it. Someone wrote, why does my husband make excuses not to have sex with me? I would talk to him about it, right? To say like, hey, like, I'm just curious. I understand my libido is higher than yours. Like, what's going on for you? Do you have a lower libido? Like, are there reasons why you're not interested in sex? Like, really having an open dialogue about it. I know that can be very vulnerable because we do tend to personalize it.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important to have the conversation because easily that gets swept under the rug. Mm-hmm.
We could do a full episode about that, sex and desire.
We probably should.
Yeah. Okay. Nikki, write that down. Full episode about sex and desire. We can talk about that more because we're running out of time. We have to do Dear Jem and Em. So, Dear Em and Jen, money is a source of security for me and a sense of freedom for him. I do everything in my power to save every penny, and he has no problem spending. It's interesting that we come from similar financial upbringings as both of our parents really struggled to pay the bills, but we both ended up on opposite spectrums of how we view finances. He knows we will make our finances all work out in the end of every month, while I am always worried that my car will break down or a big and needed purchase will surprise us. Does this mean we are not compatible? That's not what that means.
No.
Just so.
And
just,
this is also a very common dynamic that happens in relationships. Very, very common.
But it does mean we have to figure out a system that works for us.
Yes.
So maybe if to say, I understand, I'm not trying to totally be rigid about our finances, but could we talk about putting this much away each month? Could we figure out before we start spending that we have 6 months of a safety blanket, right? So part of this is coming up with another system together. But I want to be clear, that's not, we're never going to like look at something and be like, oh yeah, that's a deal breaker,
right?
Right. But it's something to really be talked about and to figure out how we're going to navigate this together. And that conversation should come from a place not of stress. It's not something that when it happens, when the car needs to repair, where you say, well, this is your effing fault. If only you had saved
like
that
the
money.
It's like the first time you censored yourself.
Look at us. Look at me growing and changing.
Look at that growth. Know yourself, grow yourself.
There we go, baby. right. So it has to come from a time of, hey, I am just thinking about how much I love our relationship and how much I love being with you. And I want to get ahead of any potential future conflict. I know we have really different values and ways that we see money. Could we talk about navigating those together a little better? What could work for you? What could work for me? What could work for us?
And I, with that, you can say, I don't want this to affect our relationship. I don't want to feel separate from you. I don't want to feel resentful of you. You know, I want to figure out something that works for us both. And yes. With that, once again, comes compromise. And without the conversation, there is no compromise. And the more that your partner spends, the more you might be holding tightly onto your money, right? So that's mm-hmm. where the polarizing really happens. When there is no conversation about compromise, you might feel like, okay, well, because there's so much spending on this end, well, it's my job then to hold on to the money. It's my job then to make sure that we're protected if anything comes up. And then that's where resentment builds. And then you're on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So how do you inch closer where you get to say, I understand I have a lot of anxiety about money, but it's really important for me in order to feel secure, once again, to have this, these funds. How do we make this work?
All right.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of Shrink Chicks.
We'll see you back here next Monday for another session.
In the meantime, if you want a question answered or a topic discussed, follow us on Instagram at Shrink Chicks. And if you're looking to get connected with a therapist like us to start or continue your therapeutic journey, visit thetherapygroup.com. Just fill out a contact form on our website and we will personally match you with one of our amazing therapists.
Also, if you'd be so kind, we'd love a rating review and for you to share with a friend or an enemy or a mother-in-law. Honestly, whoever needs it, so that we can keep reaching more people on our mission to bring mental health topics to your ears every week.
Thanks for being here with us. And don't forget, to grow yourself, you got to know yourself. Welcome to Raw Beauty Talks. I'm your host, Erin Treloar. Ready to peer behind the highlight reel and all those polished pictures of the world's biggest influencers and wellness experts? We're going to uncover what beauty, health, and wellness truly means in today's world. Warning though, there will be no surface level conversations here. As someone who really struggled with disordered eating and negative body image after trying to check all those be healthy boxes, I became a health coach because I'm passionate about redefining health and wellness so that it's less about the weight on the scale and more about how we feel. I truly believe how you feel on the inside reflects out into every aspect of your life. So if you're ready to go below skin deep to tap into a whole other level of wellness, you're in the right place. Let's pull back the curtain for some raw beauty talks.